Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to EMS Live. This program is recorded.
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to EMS Live. This is Joe Cavelli and Patrick Ryan. It's nice to have you with us. Today is Tuesday, June 13th. Hard to believe we're at that point already, halfway through 2017. Hi, Patrick. How are you today?
I'm great, Joe. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you with us, and a very timely topic today. We're going to be discussing community paramedicine and telemedicine. I know there's quite a bit happening at the Capitol for us with our state legislators in the community paramedicine topic. For those of you that maybe haven't been following it or haven't followed it recently, the state legislature in the assembly unanimously passed community paramedicine legislation or bill, I should say. It's with the Senate, and the Senate has had their community public hearing on that yet, Patrick, or is it just at the Senate right now with the Health Committee?
It's still in the committee. We are hoping that the hearing will be coming up soon. The budget has really kind of taken precedent. So we're just kind of patiently waiting, continue to have a lot of optimism that we think we'll be successful going through the Senate as we were with the Assembly. So it's just a matter of time, we believe, and we can really continue to get the ball rolling.
Right. It's been a long time coming. The association, as well as other stakeholders in the state, have been working on this a good number of years, probably 5 or 6 or maybe even more years to get it to where it is today. So we'll hope for some very good news here once the legislature gets past the budget requirements and then back on to community paramedicine, and we'll push that through. I think we're also getting good indications from Governor Scott Walker's office about this.
Yeah, in fact, we've seen a recent budget amendment that was introduced, still trying to continue to investigate that, but some really significant dollars potentially for care coordination, both in the 17-18 budget as well as into 18-19. It would provide, six figures plus of dollars for hospitals to work on intensive care coordination services for MA recipients or Medicaid. And that's one of the things that when we first introduced our bill, we came to the conclusion that we're not confident in our success chances if we had a fiscal NOTA tied to that, meaning Medicaid reimbursement. So with consultation with legislators, we decided to take that out of the bill to allow it to move forward. The thinking there is that we can work, and there are a number of positive things happening now in the state, but continue to work on private type organizations, banding together ambulance services and hospital systems to get this off the ground, to gather data, to be able to show the potential successes and savings for the state with the Department of Health Services and Medicaid. So that will be our task once we get up and running and can tabulate some good successes and show how this could really save money in the long run. Obviously with this budget, amendment being introduced, there is some recognition of that fact, but I think we'll need to really work hard with the intent of gathering data to be able to show that it truly can save money.
Exactly. Yes, that's very true. And thank goodness there are states operating with the community paramedicine model already. One of them, of course, Minnesota, which Wisconsin has leaned on quite a bit to help in its efforts here in the Badger State. And really nice to have Minnesota close by and the resources available to us. I did want to, for those that maybe haven't followed this all that closely or to kind of frame up our discussion today, a community paramedic is a seasoned pre-hospital medical practitioner who has received supplementary training to have an expanded scope of care, such as making house calls to help patients with chronic conditions or assessing patients after hospital discharge. Community paramedics also have significant clinical skills really, which help them fill gaps to access healthcare within certain underserved communities. And that's what we're finding with some of the programs here in Wisconsin, also with the City of Milwaukee Fire Department that's employing or deploying community paramedicine type services, as well as other fire departments throughout the state of Wisconsin. There's just a handful of them that have received approval under various pilot programs to be delivering that type of care. And in framing this up, our guest today is Dr. Alex Summers. Dr. Summers is CEO with Astea Health in Marathon, Wisconsin. He's designed and developed a very innovative telemedicine hard case, both the hardware and the software. And we'll be discussing with Dr. Summers in greater detail his technology and information, something that could greatly affect delivery of community paramedicine and the paramedicine model that we're looking to incorporate here in Wisconsin. You're listening to EMS Live in Wisconsin. We'll be back after these brief messages. Stay with us.
Godfrey & Kahn, a Wisconsin-based law firm, combines specific experience in numerous practice areas to provide a wide range of legal and business counseling services. The law firm is known for its core business practice and litigation, as well as providing strategic legal advice to the healthcare industry and employers. Their clients range from individuals and small businesses to government entities and large private and public national and international companies. Have a legal question? Contact attorney Thomas Shorter at Godfrey & Kahn, 877-455-2900, or find them on the web at www.gklaw.com.
Since 1997, Savick Buying Group has been saving members money through world-class buying power in the public safety sector. Hello, this is Savick Executive Director Mickey Schulte. With over 4,500 Savick members throughout North America and strong commitments from our vendor partners, we turn this buying power into products and services at the industry's best prices with agreements from Henry Schein, Zoll Medical, Granger, and many other companies. To receive more information or get started today, contact the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin at 414-236-4192 and mention you would like to be a Savick member, or go online to paw.us/Savick, S-A-V-V-I-K. Best of all, PAW pays your annual Savick member fee so you can access millions of products discounted and get real savings absolutely free. Make the call, 414-236-4192, and join Savick today.
EMS Live in Wisconsin is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. To speak with the co-hosts or guests during the live show, dial 646-929-1081 and press number 1 on your keypad, or send an email to emslive@paaw.us. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This is Joe Cavelli, joined by Patrick Ryan. Today's program is sponsored by Godfrey & Kahn and Savick Buying Group. Appreciate their support. The program is being broadcast live here on Tuesday, June 13th. Dr. Summers, welcome to the program. Pleasure to have you with us.
Good morning, Joe and Patrick. Thanks for having us this morning.
We appreciate you being along with us today, and I know that you have some very innovative technology with telemedicine. Telemedicine is not an unfamiliar thing, but how you're doing it and delivering it in the community paramedicine environment has caught our attention. And I know you joined us when we were over in Minneapolis with our outreach work and doing some training with North Memorial and the folks there in delivering community paramedicine. So we appreciate your involvement with us at these various opportunities. Tell us more about your telemedicine product.
You know, really, it comes down to providing high quality care, and we've, you know, with EMRs and meaningful use, we felt that this is really the last frontier in healthcare, is really incorporating telemedicine at multiple provider levels. And so we developed a platform that would support that and be very simple to use. I'm an emergency medicine physician by training, and EMS has been focus in my career and a second love, and so it's been really a pleasure to work with EMS professionals and seeing community paramedicine develop and working in the emergency department before we left to work on this full time. It was just logical that it would be the next step, and what we perceive CP is really the new physician assistant role or nurse practitioner role that really is missing in the provider realm. As far as the platform is concerned, we developed an iOS platform for the Apple App Store, as well as browser-based, what we call WebRTC, real-time communication. So it sounds elaborate, but it's very simple to use, and we have three primary workflows, and both on-demand, scheduled, and we call Direct Call, which powers our cases of video cameras with general cameras, otoscopes, and then, of course, digital stethoscopes back to from the near site, patient bedside, back to the far site, which would be one of our physician assistants or physicians in our current model here at Marathon.
As far as using your equipment in the community paramedicine model, we know the community paramedicine model really is to provide access to those in-home continuity of care if discharged from the hospital, serving underserved communities. I read an interesting article here recently, actually this morning, about serving prisoners in the prisons in the state of Minnesota and community paramedics covering the after hours and access to care. Obviously, it looks like your product can help fill the voids that and the gaps that community paramedicine is looking to fill as well. What would you suggest to somebody in evaluating your products and services in helping fill the gaps and voids in community paramedicine? And as these services look to deploy these types of services, once we have some legislation approved and signed into law by our governor?
Yeah, no, I think it's really great timing, Joe. Part of the problem that's been an issue in the past with community paramedicine has been the inability to, you know, get strong buy-in from the healthcare community, from primary care to specialty care and all the way through the system. And that's going to change over time as we move forward. And specifically, I see a better way to stay in touch or care coordinate through technology. And so using this particular type of platform that we've developed, we try to develop a local value-based piece of equipment and software. So, we feel that our cost, having evaluated others throughout the country before we started, is at the best value point, and it'd be tough to find it less expensive. And because we come from the same mold as everyone else in the state looking to incorporate this type of a model into their CP program and then subsequently into their healthcare system, that we are certainly, we feel good consultants to help with that because we've, you know, been in the entire relationship. We've utilized tools in the outpatient setting, including diagnostic equipment that we have on top, clinical equipment that we have on top of what we use through the proprietary low bandwidth ambulatory telemedicine platform. So we're able to get in areas in our area of the state is specifically tough because of low bandwidth. And I know, part of the state budget is looking to expand bandwidth, but we've able to do video calls in areas in Marathon County that you wouldn't even be able to derive a cell phone signal on. So it's really, really resourceful. You get high quality calls, low bandwidth. And then again, we have other clinical resources we've utilized, such as a mobile moderately complex CLIA lab, bringing high quality labs to the bedside, imaging, et cetera. So the guys and gals that are doing CP really are bringing the hospital with them. And so I think the clinical side, in addition to the technology piece, is really integral, and really, we've really built both to supplement each other.
Now, I know you recently met with Governor Scott Walker. I saw a picture of you demonstrating your equipment to him. What were some of his comments?
Talking about a variety of topics, all healthcare related, while we sold a case and software to the Gilman School District, who uses EMTs on site. He just really got the concept. I think the state's looking to go self-funded. Everyone's looking for better cost options, whether it's a large budget such as the state for state employees or, local school districts or self-funded employers or community paramedicine. I think he really saw the efficiency and really was in agreement on care coordination. And we need to find ways to really help the gray tsunami of elderly folks as we move forward here. I thought he was very, very positive about the entire platform, hardware, and the way things are going in technology. And, of course, it's always nice to get a nod from the governor in your home state in growing an organic product that you hope will be successful in multiple different markets.
That's great to hear. Thanks for sharing that, Dr. Summers. If you're listening on the phone and you'd like to ask a question, by all means, you're welcome to press number one on your keypad. If you are listening to us live on the internet, our email address to email a question is emslive@paw.us. We sure invite any questions that you may have while you're listening to this. Patrick, I'd like to toss it over to you, too. Do you have some questions for Dr. Summers, knowing that Ryan Brothers Ambulance in Madison is deploying some of these community paramedicine concepts?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Dr. Summers, what's been your assessment on the, how receptive are the hospital systems for the, specifically the telemedicine? I think, we're getting some groundwork established for the whole concept of CP, but when we add that added element of the telemedicine, what is your assessment on how willing you think at this point in time, one, how willing are they to look into this? And then two, what are your recommendations for what we can be doing now to continue to lay the groundwork to open up that avenue as well down the road?
Thanks, Patrick, for the question. I think communication is really key, and continued exposure to as we move into value-based care. I'm not going to completely sugarcoat it. It's been, a bit challenging working with healthcare systems to really embrace the concept of care coordination, value-based care, specifically telemedicine, unless it really becomes a strong cost problem or a price problem for them. But I think it's right around the corner. How long that corner is just depends upon how long it takes to make that value-based switch. And I think the innovative hospitals throughout the state will really be the ones that see the highest return in value. And it's really the right thing to do. And so coming from a hospital or healthcare system in central Wisconsin, having worked for Aspirus for a decade and having been near and dear to Ryan Brothers actually for a few years outside of residency at Fort Atkinson, I certainly have seen multiple different systems, both in the Milwaukee system as well as in the rural health setting all the way up to Duluth, Minnesota, where I spent a bit of time. So most recently, I think there is continued push by practitioners at the physician level all the way down into the community, into EMS programs and community paramedicine, to work on ways to develop care coordination as, we're boots on the ground, so to speak, as far as taking care of these patients. And it just is a continued push to work with physician leaders to establish communication lines and continue to demonstrate value. There's undoubtedly no dispute in my mind that this is where care needs to go for the elderly population, where we'll all be. There's no less to do it and better way to do it. I think in the end, it's the right thing to do, and they're going to start to listen. We just all have to continue to work together to make that happen.
Sounds good. Thanks, Dr. Summers. Patrick, did you have any other questions?
No, that was my primary one. I think when I saw the tool that you've developed, I was very impressed. I mean, I think it really opens up a ton of opportunities, especially in the rural areas. Maybe that leads to a question then. In speaking with officials in Minnesota, they really thought that the CP model had a lot of merit in the rural areas, but then discovered after they kind of started implementing and getting programs up and running that they needed to kind of establish it and work out the kinks and really hone their game in the urban setting, and then take it out to the rural area. So Dr. Summers, any observation? I mean, you're in a kind of a semi-rural or more rural, obviously, than the big centers of Madison or Milwaukee, but any thoughts on that of how it may play out, at least in comparison to how it did in Minnesota?
Yeah, we visited North Memorial Medical Center when Joe and a lot of folks that maybe be listening were there, and I was quite impressed with what they've done, and I felt, I completely commend Peter Carlson and the crew out there. I think they did a great job, but I think everyone in EMS has a lot more to offer in care coordination, which is why we felt, we could start providing some more tools and ways to get things done. I think it's an obvious extension or natural pathway in a rural setting, because as you pointed out, Patrick, it's more difficult for patients to get care. There's less primary care providers. There's less specialty care. there's long distance to care, to get them to appointments and follow-ups and blood draws and many other things that they need to, stay as healthy as they can be. So for the rural healthcare population, it's very important to get a good, strong program up and running. There's going to be more value immediately to patients there, we believe, but it'll trickle its way down as folks see the popularity and the ease at which care is provided in those types of environments. So you're right. I think the rural health environment is a logical place for it to go on their art and lease. There certainly are more easily barriers to cross as far as reimbursement goes in the rural health provider shortage areas where telemedicine currently is compensated by Medicare. And Medicaid has its own rules as well in the stateside. So, it's already ready to go in those settings. So all you have to really do is set up your equipment and find ways to coordinate care through the software back to your providers. Which, of course, we're happy.
Thank
to
you
do.
For that answer. That was
yep. Very good. Thanks, Dr. Summers. Good question, Patrick. If you're listening on the phone and have a question, please press number one on your keypad. If you are listening on the internet and have a question, you can send us an email at emslive@paw.us. Dr. Summers, your equipment is available and for sale. What are some of the value propositions or costs around the various options that you have available through this system?
Yeah, we're happy to discuss that on the phone or in person. I think the just being frank and open and honest, because we like to be transparent, as we presented as a startup at the American Telemedicine Association last May, and have been very familiar with having looked at different options for hardware ourselves and decided we could do it better and more cost effective. We started a few years ago with our first version of the actual access to care A2C telemedicine case that we built. And then the most recent version in the last several months, which we really wanted to make it really easy for folks and simple to use. So, we worked with local fabricators and we did a lot of the engineering ourselves. And now we assemble cases that are fully ready to go. So they are fully battery powered up to 3.5 hours. They have micro PCs in them. They have all the cameras. It's all hooked up. Speakerphone to reduce echo artifact is all set to go in the lid. We have a webcam as well that all you have to do is turn it up. And when you power up the computer and it's ready to go, it's a Windows-based and WebRTC and Chrome browser. So it's really a matter of minutes. And then we certainly can build in MiFi stuff. So if it's taken out into a mobile setting, that can easily be a complete solution. All you really need is a cellular connection or a Wi-Fi connection, and you're ready to go. So as far as price goes, Joe, the get-in for the current market throughout the country is probably over $20,000 just for a very, very basic, simple model, which doesn't get you nearly as much as we've included. We built it to serve the folks that we use in our business, which is the same group of folks in community paramedicine. So we hope they'd find it's just as simple to use. Our folks love it, the newest model, the software as well. Over $20,000 to get in. Ours is off the shelf for $6,000. And then we work with the providers themselves for some licensure fees, which we feel are nominal compared to what's going on the national market. So cost-wise and value-wise, we feel it's a very, very excellent value proposition.
That's terrific. That's good to know. And is there a website or a video or something that somebody can watch to see the equipment, get a look at it, see how it works from both the sender and receiver ends and vice versa?
Yeah, as far as software goes, we're happy to do demonstrations. Our website is www.astiahealth.com. That's ASTIAhealth.com, as well as our phone number of 888-885-4434. Connect with our staff, and we can arrange a demo. We will have our case back up for viewing on the website shortly on our store. But it's always nice for us and exciting for us to talk to our friends throughout the state in many different levels. So please reach out. We're happy to get those demonstrations and other things you may need for your specific application.
Right. And, you know, we need to keep in mind, too, community paramedicine is different than that 911 setting in many respects. I mean, you're going to be with a patient or a person that you're meeting with providing these services for either a number of times or a number of, not to say hours, but maybe 30 minutes or 60 minutes. So the delivery model is completely different than I think what most 911 providers are used to. You know, we hear the pager go off and it's immediate reaction. Time is of the essence. This is a little different delivery model. What are some suggestions, Dr. Summers, would you have as Wisconsin EMS managers and leaders look at community paramedicine, they look at their community, they need to come up with plans, procedures, protocols, medical direction, obviously very important. You need to have that as a part of it. You being a medical doctor, very familiar with the environment, what are some suggestions you would have to EMS leaders and managers as they look to incorporate this model in their service, which could include telemedicine?
You know, I would suggest there are two things, Joe. Number one, telemedicine has been incorporated in the EMS setting, in the 911 setting, mainly for pre-hospital stroke and in several models throughout the country. It started in Texas, and there's been several others near the Cleveland Clinic, et cetera. But this is a completely different application. The other point to make is using the heart attack model of lean principles and processes. You know, we're all familiar, and we want to make it better for patients. So getting things set up ahead of time, and it's a fluid process for us. We continue to refine our processes, and I'm happy if folks want to reach out and discuss these. We talk daily about how can we do things better? How can we be more efficient? And we use policy protocols, training guidelines, those types of things to make what we do more efficient. And I think that's what makes it better for us. We do mobile urgent care, brick and mortar urgent care, as well as community paramedicine type patient care interactions. And, you know, we're always finding ways to make it more efficient. For instance, if a patient calls with complaints of shortness of breath, it's like an auto dispatch for us, right? We're going to send X-ray, we're going to send the ability to draw labs, potentially do diuretics, antibiotics, all those things, so that, you know, we don't have to sit and talk about it. And so compartmentalizing things when you go out into the community. So really, it's a different skill set and tool set than 911 EMS, and you really have to start to think about it like that, which was a new challenge for us and a new challenge for me as an EMS director, but it's logical. Setting up policies and procedures and protocols in the 911 or in a facility setting is not much different. It's just a different way to look at it.
Right. And I think there are going to be those questions out there. We did get a question from Brian with Gold Cross Ambulance and Theta Care over in the Fox Valleys. And Brian's question is, are these cases available for custom branding, or does it have to be tied to a DIA? And the second part of the question is, what is required on the other side?
So good question, Brian. Thanks for the question. I think that, you know, we are definitely able to do custom branding for the cases. That's not a problem whatsoever. So that's an easy one. The second part to the question is, what's needed on the other side? I assume the other side being the provider side or the physician type side, if I'm interpreting that question correctly. Really all that's needed is, you know, we do ask that the physician side, which is considered the far site in our model, near site being the patient side or the community paramedicine provider side, that the provider needs to have a software license, which helps us, of course, maintain the software and improve the software and continue to provide high quality customer support to both providers. So there's a software license on the provider side as far as fees go. As far as setup, I mean, we can set up licenses in a matter of minutes. They can be up and running. They create their own account. We obviously have a hard stop on both paramedic side and physician side so that we're making sure they're credentialed with the state and not just anyone can set up a license. So it's fairly straightforward and fairly easy to do. It doesn't take much at all. There are some branding portions as well within the application that practices or physicians may make or other providers may make visible to patients. So a lot of great options. It's very simple. And happy to talk with you in person or anyone else who is interested.
Dr. Summers, if you would share your contact information again, I think that would be helpful too.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. So our office number is 888-885-4434. That's 888-885-4434. And remember, our staff will be happy to contact, get myself into contact with you. I'm happy to share our website and our email address as well. Our website is www.astiahealth.com, ASTIAhealth.com, as well as my email. I'd love for folks to reach out and set up discussions. That's Alex, A-L-E-X-S, at astiahealth.com. So we developed the company, one last thing, to bring back the relationship between provider and patient. The name of the company itself, very important to us, means the Greek goddess of hearth and home, in case people are wondering what that means.
All right, Dr. Summers, thank you very much for being on the program today. And I know individuals seek you out and appreciate you sharing your contact information. We do have some photos of the telemedicine equipment on the Blog Talk website. So if you go back to listen to the podcast on the recording and download it, you'll see some photos of the podcast. We'll also post those at the PAW website, paw.us, that's tied to this too. Dr. Summers, did you have anything else that you'd like to add, maybe something we didn't cover in the couple minutes we have yet?
I really don't have a lot of specific more comments, although, just again to address our enthusiasm to help out folks throughout the state. This is a team effort. I think what was, certainly disappointing to me is to see Wisconsin being one of the last in line to establish telemedicine laws, ground rules for the use of telemedicine and the practice of medicine in the state. So I think it's time to turn that around and make them one of the first to couple that with community paramedicine and make one of the most efficient CP models in the country, because I believe in all the people that I've worked with throughout my career. And it's just the right thing to do. And patients absolutely love it. I mean, I think they love the ability to have face-to-face contact, although it's virtual, but they have a person with them, right? You have your CP provider, and you're able to see your physician or another provider that you otherwise have access to when you're discharged from the hospital. Usually most folks need follow-up within a few days, and in reality, they're any quicker than weeks, sometimes months. So, good job. Great job, Patrick, and everyone else on PAWS. That's really take BP legislation to where it needs to go. So it's my pleasure to join you guys this morning. Thanks very much, Joe and Patrick, and I appreciate your time and everyone else listening.
Thank you, Dr. Summers. We appreciate your information.
Thanks, Dr. Summers.
I know we'll keep in touch. Yeah, I know we'll keep in touch with you on this, so we appreciate your information today. Patrick, anything else that you'd like to offer before we wrap things up here?
Nothing to add, just another great rollout of a show that I think can really have some significant impact to the day-to-day operations of EMS in the state. So kudos to you, Joe, and Dr. Summers, thanks for your time. We really appreciate all you're doing.
Well, we're getting close on CP legislation. Stay tuned to the PAW website, and this podcast will share information with you as we get it. Again, we're waiting for the Senate Health Committee to take action on the legislative bill. It has passed the Assembly, and we're getting good indication that Governor Walker will sign this. So stay tuned with us on that. It's exciting for Wisconsin to move this legislative agenda forward, and we appreciate you listening to the podcast today. I did want to share with you our next podcast is going to be, let me look it up here real quick. Next podcast is going to be Tuesday, June 27, starting at 9 o'clock. We'll be discussing the opioid epidemic and what they are doing at Milwaukee County EMS to address it. As we know, this is having sweeping implications across our country. Wisconsin is not immune from this. And so we'll chat with EMS Management Director at Milwaukee County, Christine Westrich. Christine was on with us a couple months ago. She's very passionate about the opioid epidemic and what they're doing in Milwaukee County, and she's offered to come back and chat with us about how they're addressing the problem there. That, again, will be on Tuesday, June 27, starting at 9 o'clock. Appreciate you listening here today to EMS Live in Wisconsin. It is streamed live the second and fourth Tuesday every month. Today's program was recorded and is available for playback from the PAW homepage at paaw.us. On behalf of Patrick Ryan, this is Joe Cavelli with the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. We appreciate you listening today. Have a good day, and we'll chat again on June 27th.
EMS Live is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, which is dedicated to healthy, sustainable ambulance and emergency medical services delivery in Wisconsin. Program comments can be emailed to emslive@paaw.us. That's emslive@paaw.us. Thank you for listening.